verses 1 through 3. And the title of my message this morning is What We Need to Change in Our Lives. What We Need to Change in Our Lives. And I want you to understand that there will be influences that influence us as individuals. Psalm 1 begins with an individual. It says, blessed is the man, right? But I want you to understand it goes further on, because the principles that will help an individual will eventually, right, inevitably affect the family. It will inevitably affect others. And so I want us to understand that Psalm 1:1-6 is talking to an individual. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There will be ungodly counsel. There will be influences that are ungodly, advice that's ungodly to an individual. It says, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Can I tell you that someone's spiritual influence or someone's spiritual condition as a person, it's going to affect those closest to him? A father, his spiritual problems or his spiritual condition will affect his children. Or a husband, his spiritual condition will affect his wife. And I want you to understand that a father doesn't live his Christianity by himself. A father doesn't live his Christianity alone, in isolation. A mother doesn't live her Christianity in isolation, alone. She lives it with her family. A father with his family, a husband, a wife, so on and so forth. Psalm 1 shows us how a blessed life develops. And what does it begin with? A blessed man, what does it say? Walketh not. Avoids ungodly influence. Does not follow the advice of ungodly people. I want you to see that these influences create habits in us. They create things in us and fills us, and they produce roots within us that eventually, guess what? They're fruit that others can see in us. This is why it's important to come to church, but it's more important to have a walk with God. You follow me? It's more important to walk with God. Yes, it's important to tithe, but it's more important to God your time. Because we are creating these roots, and it takes time to develop these bad habits, ungodly advice, ungodly influence, ungodly counsel, will create and develop in us a certain type of behavior, fruits that others will see. And the reason I'm saying that, because eventually that fruit that others see will be more visible and sought after more than anywhere else, any place in this world, in our homes. Hey, grandma, the way you act at home, your kids are going to see that, your grandkids. Hey, parents, the way you act at home, your spiritual condition, guess what? The people that are close to you see that. And my goal here today is we need to change things in our lives. First point I'd like to share with you is guard your home from the wrong influence. Guard your home from the wrong influence. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You notice the first step is not production. It's not producing. It's protection. Avoid. I want you to realize that Psalm 1 is talking about fruit. It's talking about fruit, but it's talking about the influence. Notice the progression, right? Walk. Where's the other one? Stand. And then what? Hey, are you limiting your spiritual life? Are you limiting your Christianity this morning? What is it that you're doing at home that's limiting? Walk with God. Walk, look at the progression. Stand, and then sit. A do-nothing Christian. Can I say something? Guard your home from the wrong influence, because that's what it'll do. You're going somewhere, all of a sudden you're going to stop, and then guess what? You're just not going to do anything. You're going to quit. You're going to sit. And I'm going to tell you where it starts. I love the Bible, don't you? I love the Bible. It's that simple. You end up sitting out of the race in your marriage. You end up sitting out of the race in your family and your parenting. And it starts with, amen. Amen. Not godly. It doesn't say godly counsel. The counsel of the, this is important for us to understand. You know, Brother Jeremiah is dealing with folks in the prison ministry. You know, it didn't start there. You know what it started with? A friend corrupting their manners. It started with a friend maybe ingraining rebellion in their life. You don't have to listen to your dad. Your mom, man, she's crazy. And we would probably agree. But that's not the point. Amen? The reality is this. I'm kidding, ladies. I'm sorry. It begins by listening to ungodly counsel. Then what happens? We start standing in the way of sinners. Then what happens? Eventually we become comfortable enough that we start criticizing. We start being critical. We start being scornful. And that's how sin works. It starts with influence before it becomes a behavior. Proverbs chapter 4, if you're with me, say amen. No, Proverbs chapter 4. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, please. Verses 14 and 15. The Bible says this, enter not into the path of the what? And go not the way of evil men, right? Amen? What does it say? Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And what? Listen. The Bible here is not saying, hey, let's see how close you can get to your addiction of drinking alcohol without drinking alcohol. Let's see how close you can go to the bar without drinking. That's not what it's saying here. Hey, if you have a problem with this, let's see how close and how close to the edge you can walk without falling. That's not what it's saying. It says what? Avoid it. Avoid it. It's not saying playing with sin or fire. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt what? You say, Pastor, isn't that good to judge? Yeah, I'm going to judge. Because there's some kids that I don't want my kids around because they corrupt their what? What I'm trying to teach them and train them to do. Yeah, I'm going to judge. Righteous judgment. I'm not going to judge and be critical of somebody if they're sinful and they're living in sin. Okay, I'm not going to judge that. But I'm going to judge if I want them to influence my child or not. Amen? You say, well, what about Matthew 7? Read it in its context, okay? Understand what that's talking about. Before you're judging somebody, fix yourself. Work your sin because it's a lot bigger than what you're trying to be critical of the other person. It's for free. You don't have to pay me. That's how we do it. Paul gives us the same principle here. Influence affects behavior. Influence. Be not deceived. Evil communications, that's influence. Corrupt good what? Behavior. Parents, sometimes we spend an enormous amount of energy telling our children, hey, don't do that. Don't do this. Stop. Instead of looking at Psalm chapter 1, it's teaching us another question. What are my children constantly being influenced by? That's the question we want to ask ourselves. Why is it that they're doing this? Because there's something influencing them. Amen? This is what Psalm 1 is about. And I want us to understand this because it's important that our children be discipled by us who love them instead of being discipled by social media, instead of being discipled by, no offense, my grandparents, your grandparents, their grandparents, instead of being discipled by YouTube, amen, instead of being discipled by social media, instead of being discipled by TV, by the radio, music, athletes, celebrities, video games? Man, I'm not even gonna touch on that thing.
just culture itself. Culture. Pastor, are you mad? No, I'm so upset that we are allowing culture and we're allowing these things to come into our children's lives, and you're not realizing what it's doing and the damage it's creating in the kids. Amen? Man, when we read the Bible, here's the uncomfortable truth. Your child, sir, your child, ma'am, is not going to believe everything they hear. Your child is going to believe everything that influences them, what they see. Amen. I'm talking about guard your home from the wrong influence. The same is true with the adults. What do you mean? A husband can allow ungodly thinking to enter into his home. The same as a wife can allow the culture's attitude to shape her thinking. The same as a teenager can allow friends to determine their standards. And eventually what happens? Influence becomes their attitude. The attitude becomes their behavior, and then the behavior becomes what? Their lifestyle, their conversation, who they are, their identity. I don't know about you, but when we go to the restaurants, and I've been at fault, so I'm no better than anyone, okay? But it's brought me to this conclusion, Brother Nickerson. Just don't get my phone. Turn it off. When you go in a restaurant, you sit around the table, you'll see dad on his phone. Most of the time, you'll see mom on her phone. And by the way, if this is you, okay, I'm letting you know I do this sometimes, okay? And so I work on it. I've set a standard. Okay, turn it off. Boom, okay? So if it's you, don't feel offended, okay? Get offended for me. How about that? You'll see a father on his phone. You'll see a mother on his phone. You'll see the teenagers on their phone. You'll see their children on their devices. But I promise you this, parents. After 5 years of doing that over and 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 over again, the family probably wouldn't have gotten to the point where they felt disconnected. That's what I'm talking about. Disconnected. Yeah, they're present, but it's like a husband that goes to home and decides to play, you know, video games and decides to do other things, and the wife, there's no connection there. She does everything, stuck it with everything around the house. Amen. I'm preaching to you, godly men. Amen. 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 It's okay. This is preaching. Now, ladies, vice versa, okay? I know y'all play video games too. No, I'm kidding. But here's the point that I'm trying to make, folks. No one ever intended to be disconnected. Amen? We're a family. We're supposed to be connected. You say, Pastor, what's so wrong with that? Guard your home from wrong influences. Don't allow these influences to, I guess, unintentionally decide who you become. So many families are disconnected nowadays. And yeah, we're connected to everything else except one another. Psalm 1 begins with walketh. So I want you to realize that small directions repeated over time becomes your destination. You want to know why you can't talk to people? You want to know why it's so hard? It's not because you're an introvert, because I know. I was an introvert. I like a book, get in the corner, read all day long, don't have to eat, I'm good. But I had to push myself to be an extrovert, to learn. And now, after repeated behavior and attitude, guess what? I can speak in front of people. But I'm going to tell you the honest truth. Why you're an introvert. You get some influences in your life, and you repeat these things over and over and over again, then now guess what? It's become a habit not to talk to people. It's become a habit not to be patient with people. But is not our God a long-suffering God? That what? That any or that none should perish? Is he not long-suffering? Should I not be long-suffering with my family? Oh, that takes too much work. That means being connected. That means being involved. Yes. Learning how to talk. Yeah. Amen. It's real life. That's real life. And this is what I'm saying, Dad. This is what I'm saying, Mom. Somebody is watching your walk with God. Someone is watching you at home, how you live. Your children are watching what you tolerate and what you don't tolerate. watching what makes you angry and what makes you happy. They're watching what you do when pressure comes. And you may think, hey, you know what? They're only watching my behavior, but they're learning your values. That's what they're learning, and you don't get it. Oh, this is not important to mom. Oh, you could be dishonest if it comes to this. Oh, you could lie. Oh, you could be critical. Okay. But that's what they're going to learn. They don't learn from anyone else. Maybe they're friends, but I'm going to tell you, home is the classroom without a teacher. Every moment, every way I respond in front of my children is going to teach them without me sitting them down, because that's where they learn. Amen? Amen. I'll say amen, Pastor. Amen. See, my friends, the world is trying to disciple your friends. I'm sorry, your children. Every day. They do it in school. They do it through social media. They do it through Hollywood. But you know who God has given the responsibility to influence our kids? Parents. Parents. I can never get in front of God, or even in front of you. I would never have the audacity to blame Brother Zach, Ms. Yahida. I would never have the audacity to blame you for how my teenagers turn out. That's my fault. That's not your fault. I'm the parent. Amen. I would never go to Brother Jeremiah and Ms. Sarah and blame them why my family does not go to the outreach. That's my fault. That's not their fault. I'm the leader of the home. That's how this works. This is what Psalms 1 is about, helping us avoid the wrong influence in our home. Follow me? And we need to take a responsibility. I mean, be accountable. Hollywood should not raise our children. Amen? Social media should not raise our children. Amen? So don't let their friends raise them. Walk with God so they can see what walking with God looks like. What influences the parent will eventually influence the home. Here's the second point. If you're with me, say amen. Fill your home with the Word of God. This is one of the best things you could do. Fill your home with the Word of God. Psalm 1:2 says, but his delight. Now, who's his? I know we say God, but no, who's he talking to? The blessed man. That's whose delight. It's the blessed man. He delights in the what? Yeah. And in his law, who? Not God's. This man is reading his word that he's receiving from God. The law that he's receiving from God, that he meditate day and night. Ah, when you read it right, it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense. Here's the truth, my friends. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's talking about that blessed man that avoided what? The ungodly counsel. It's talking about the blessed man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. It's talking about that blessed man that does not sin with the scornful. You know what his enjoyment is? The Word of God. That word, yeah, but in Psalm 1 doesn't simply say don't listen to the wrong voices. It's not saying that. It is saying replace those voices with the Word of God. Go back to the first one. Do you have Psalm 1:1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now, what is he not listening to? What is he not? Bad counsel. Wrong influence. So he's not saying don't listen to it. You're going to be surrounded by that at work. Amen? When you go to work, people are going to give you unwanted advice, unsolicited advice that you don't need. They're going to be saying, oh, really? You're going through a hard time in your marriage? Divorce him. Divorce her. They're going to be going to school. The kids are going to be like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going to church. Oh, man, you don't have to do that. You have rights as a kid. Don't listen to your parents. That's what this is talking about. We're going to have voices in our ears. They're going to be ungodly counsel. It's going to be ungodly advice. Go to the next one, Psalm 2. But that blessed man, his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord. He's going to replace those voices. He's going to replace those negative influences. He's going to replace those scornful people with the law of the Lord. And in his law, does he meditate what? He's going to be thinking about that. He's going to be replacing those bad and evil counsels. And you don't have to listen to your pastor. He's just trying to be a control freak. By the way, I'm not trying to be a control freak, okay? No. I don't have time for that, to be honest with you. Okay? I don't have time for that. I barely have time for what I do at home, amen? Here's the truth. Read the Word of God, and then you make the decision. Okay? Then align the behaviors of others to the Word of God and see if you're wrong in your thinking. Because those voices need to be replaced by what? The Word of God. It's the law. Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse... Deuteronomy chapter 6? No? Okay. Turn there to Deuteronomy chapter 6. God wants us to use the Bible. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 6. What does it say? And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine what? Amen. Okay, I got preaching right there, but I'm going to let that one go because I'm going to bring it back. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Look at the order, right? It says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine what? Look at the order. It needs to be in my what? The Word of God needs to be where? In my heart. I need to have a love for it, compassion for it. I need it like oxygen. Like I can't breathe without it. I can't live without the Word of God. That's how it needs to be. It needs to be in my heart. And then, what's the progression? Then into my what? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy... Yeah. So how can I teach something to my children that I don't have? I love this because I can't effectively reach my kids if I don't possess it. You can't reach your kids if you don't possess it. How can I teach them a godly life, Brother Jeremiah, if I'm not godly during the week? 2 Timothy 3:15. Okay, it's about Timothy, and it says, and that from a child thou hast known. From a what? From a child. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I want you to understand that Timothy, along with many of us, right? Timothy's faith, spirituality, it didn't develop by accident. You notice that? Someone put scripture into this young man's life from a child. And Paul's telling us exactly where it started. In his childhood. Are you listening? In his childhood. Why is it that right now that you're listening to the preaching is not important? You don't possess it, man. You know what possesses you? You fill in the blank. I don't know. I'm not God. Sport? Food? I don't know. The house? The bills? Be careful, because God might just take that away to get your attention. Amen. I'm not trying to create fear, but why is it that we're so nonchalant about things and then you get excited about other things? Why? It's not in you. Get it in you. Fill your home with the Word of God. Amen. Fill your home with God's Word. The goal isn't just about taking your kids to church. That's good, right? But you know what it is? It's about teaching them how to be a Christian beyond the building of the church. When you're at school, this is how you act as a Christian. When you're at work, this is how you act as a Christian. When you're at home, this is how you act as a Christian. But how can I teach my kids how to act like a Christian when I'm acting like the devil during the week? Well, Pastor, what do you mean the devil? Well, let me ask you something. Who did God call Satan? A disciple. Someone that was more disciplined than you and I. What did he do? He killed somebody? Is that why he called him the devil? Come on now, what did he do? He contradicted God's word. How? By not desiring and wanting the things of God, but wanting himself. You know what? We act like the devil a lot, don't we? We live selfish lives. Amen. Amen, Victory Baptist Church. We're growing up. We're 11 years old now. We should take a little bit of meat and potatoes. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want us to see here that, again, the goal is not just to, you know, have good Christian kids and go to church, but the Word of God should enter into their hearts. But you know where the Word of God should be? In your living rooms. You know where the Word of God should be? In the bedroom of your home. You know where the Word of God should be? In every nook and cranny of your home. Amen? The kids should see mommy and daddy praying together. Reading the Bible together. Talking about God naturally. Well, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. Well, fill your home with the Word of God and you'll know. Amen? None of us have perfected it. But the question that we need to understand is this. What does the Bible say about this? You know, your kids are going to go to bed, and sometimes you have a bedtime routine. Some of us, you know, we follow Hollywood, and we're like, oh, well, we're going to read a book. Or, you know, some of us didn't have dysfunctional families. That's who we go to Hollywood, amen, to teach us. Oh, this is normal. But a lot of things that they teach you is not normal. Why did they have to replace story times with the Bible? I'm just asking, amen? Because sometimes kids are going to want that difficult conversation, right? They're going to ask, hey, can you tell me why people should marry? Hey, can you tell me why I'm a girl? Why, you know, Bubby's a boy? Simple questions that the Bible answers, by the way, because he made them both male and female. That's why. Oh, okay. Different. You know why that's important? Before they have an identity crisis. Yeah, amen. You know why that's important? Before they have a crisis in marriage. Amen. What does the Bible say about this? Imagine you want to go to the beach with your family. You have a GPS. The GPS is supposed to be there to take you to the destination, but you don't put the address to the beach. So in other words, you don't set a standard. What's going to happen? Where's the GPS going to take you? Nowhere. Why? Because you haven't filled it in with the what? The standard. The destination. Makes sense? Or makes dollars? Amen. Whatever. Amen. Give to the Lord. No, but here, seriously. Why can't we say to our kids, well, let's see what God says? We don't do that. We don't put that in their GPS, in their guiding system. Right? Husbands, is it okay for the wives to question something? Yes or no? Yeah, it's not that they're rebels. They probably would just want to ask a question because they want to know. That's okay. But if I put husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church, that he gave himself for it, what do you think I'm going to do when she asks me, and I don't like repeating myself like 8,000 times, but if she asks me for the 8,000th time, not that she does that, but if she did, what should I do? Show compassion, show love. Why? That's my chosen one. That's the one that God gave me, my best friend. That's my wife. And I'm supposed to love her unconditionally. Even if she asks you 8,001, maybe that'll be the straw that breaks the camel. But yes, amen. She doesn't do that, but my point that I'm trying to make is, if we put the standard in our minds and in our hearts, which is, it should be the Word of God, then the Word of God is going to influence our behavior. Okay? The Word of God will influence our behavior, and that's what we need to meditate on. This is what we need to teach our kids. We need to put the Bible in your house. Put the Bible in your family. Don't let the only time that your children hear you read the scriptures at church. What about at home? What about that they hear, oh, daddy reads his Bible at work. Hey, mommy reads her Bible when she's with her friends. What's so wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that, my friends. In other words, let them hear it when you're sitting around the dinner table. Let them hear it when you're riding in the car, instead of criticizing the preaching and the pastor, amen, and everybody else, amen, that maybe they were scratching their nose and you think they look bad at you. No. Instead of doing that, talk about the Bible, what you learned about the Bible. Amen. Listen, Pastor, why is that so important, and why are you such an advocate for the Bible? Because one day they're going to be tempted. And what do you think is going to help them through that temptation? You? You don't have the patience as a parent. Me? No, I'm too busy. The Word of God. The Word of God, you create that muscle memory in them. You let them memorize that thing. And guess what's going to come back? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. That's the Bible. It's a living organism. And they're going to have a difficult time. And what they need to remember is when daddy and mommy would go through hard times and how they would respond. And they would say, well, what does the Bible say? You say, Pastor, why? Until God's word becomes a part of you. Until the word of God starts turning that difficult time into faith. Build your house on the word of God. If you and I fill our hearts, eventually what it will do, it will shape our home. Here's this third point, and I'm finished. If you're with me, say amen. Plant your family so deeply in God that your life produces fruit. Again, we're going over Psalms chapter 1, okay? And this is a very important passage. I mean, many of us memorized it when we were young. And I'm going to be honest with you, this one really helped me, but I didn't even understand it so much. But guess what? You continue reading over time and over years, and God starts showing you little things here and there. But what I really love about this passage, it tells you, hey, avoid the negative influence. Fill yourself with the word of God. Delight in it, right? Meditate in it. And then guess what you're going to do? Produce fruit. Psalm 1:3 says, and he shall be like a tree. Okay, pause right there. Blessed is the what? Man. Now, what is he now? A tree. He's not a man. He's an individual that's rooted in Jesus. He's rooted in the lifestyle that God is giving him. See, that's the whole point of Christianity. Commit yourself. I'm not saying commit yourself to the church, but if that's what God wants you to do, commit yourself. I'm not saying that you need to commit yourself every time and every day of every hour of the day, read your Bible, but commit to reading your Bible. Commit yourself, plant yourself, and grow what? Roots, because that's what it's talking about. He shall be like a tree, what? Let me ask you something. If something that's planted, does it have roots? Does it need roots in order to stand? Yes or no? Yes. We need roots to have fruit. By the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? This is why some people mistake success of others as something that they can do. Oh, it looks easy. They could do it. I could do it. And then they figure out and they get into it and they struggle. They can't. Why? This is why. When you do this and you have roots, what happens? Whatsoever he does, what? Prosper. His leaf won't wither. That's why. Many of us, in whatever skill set, you want to go into industry of sales or whatever, go slow, because that will be, you will eventually obtain the speed to go faster later. But go slow first. Why? So you don't make the mistakes, so you learn the skill set, so you learn the technique, so you can learn the mechanism, and just do it. Let the knowledge be your payment, not the money. Learn. Get rooted. Ask the questions. Get planted. And then when you see somebody and you're like, what in the world? It only took them 6 months. Because they learn how to go slow. That going slow is eventually something that goes fast. It becomes fast because of your skill set. With the word of God, it's the same thing. It takes time, my friends. But thank God for the tree that's planted. Thank God for the blessed man that avoided the wrong influence. Thank God for the man that's no longer living in the way of sinners. Thank God for the man that's no longer a scornful man. He's become as a planted tree. You say, Pastor, why? because the storm's coming. Storm's coming in your life. Don't expect yourself to be rooted and to grow roots right before the storm. Your marriage won't handle it. It takes time. Your children won't handle it. It takes time. Pastor, what do I do? Right now, if you're not going through a storm, get planted. Get in God. Get so deep into God that no matter what storm comes your way, guess what? I have the faith that God's going to see me through it again. That's what this is about. Now we arrive at the result. The man has rejected ungodly influence. He's delighted himself in God's word. And now he's what? Planted. She's planted. That teenage boy is planted. That teenage girl is planted. That boy and that girl, they're planted. And my friends, people are going to criticize you, and it's okay because they don't understand your journey. How are they supposed to not criticize you if it doesn't make sense to them? It's not supposed to make sense to them. It's supposed to make sense to who? You, us. It's your journey of faith. Why should it make sense to me? But are you following God? Amen. Do you understand? That's what gives you the strength when you go through the tough times. Nobody's going to understand what you're going through, but guess what? You're going to get up and you're going to keep going by the grace of God. But is it in you? How can you go through it if you don't possess it? If it's not in you? This is very important because this picture changes from a man walking to a tree that's rooted. You say, Pastor, why is that powerful? Because here's the truth, right? God, I don't believe, wants us to, as Christians, to constantly just wander around spiritually. Wherever the wind takes me, that's where I'll go. That's not what he's looking for. What is he looking for? That man, that woman, to stand in that gap, to be planted. Stand firm. Stand firm for him. Be rooted. Joshua chapter 24, 15. No? Okay. It's okay. We know this one. It's Joshua, right? Who has it? 24:15? It's okay. Obviously, God wanted us to do TPI, total participant involvement. Amen. Who has Joshua 24:15 real quick, please? Okay, read it out loud, please. Or we can have somebody. Go ahead. Use your man voice. You did a great job. Sorry, I was playing. Okay, so Joshua here, he says, I will serve the Lord. Is that what he says? He doesn't, right? What does he say? We. How can Joshua make that kind of statement? Because how he lives, his behavior, what he possesses, his faith impacted his family. Men, we need some spiritual men in this day and age to impact their families. Ladies, we need some godly ladies of faith to impact their families. That's what's happening here. Joshua could say that statement because of who he was, how he lived, not just at the church, but outside the walls of the church. When he was at work or at war back then, amen? And maybe when he got on the wagon with the donkey to go get some sugar the next city or whatever, which was probably 300 miles away. I don't know. Not you, Sirius. But anyways, he could say that because of who he was. He possessed that influence. Psalm 78, chapter 78, verses 5 and 6. Who can look it up real quick? 5 through 6. This is Psalm 78, verses 5 and 6. That the generation to come might what? What does verse 5 say, Brother Jeremiah? Amen. This faith here is supposed to be made to who? To who? That the generation to come might know them too, right? So that's Bible faith. That's what we're talking about, leaving a godly legacy. We should live in such a way in our faith that we can pass it on to the what? Next generation. Here's the neat thing. They can learn to live it and they can pass it on to the next generation. But we have to be planted in God. Yes, sir. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So it's supposed to move from one generation to the next. And one of the greatest things, parents, that a child could receive from us is this: spiritual stability. Spiritual stability. What do you mean, Pastor? See, our children, they need to know that dad's going to go to church. Consistency, stability. Our child needs to know that mom's going to go to church. Our children need to know that dad actually reads his Bible and that mom prays. Children need to know that, hey, you know what? We're going to serve God together as a family. They need to know that when it comes to giving, we give to God because God's been so good to us. Our children need to learn, and they need to see from us, if you don't possess this, you can't teach it, right? That we forgive people. We don't hold on to grudges. We take accountability for our actions. Is there a possibility I probably did do that and offended somebody? Okay, let me go apologize. But if I didn't, and they still want to be mad at me, I forgive you. Because I need to be right with God. Children need to know this. They need to see that we tell people about Jesus. And they need to really see that when times get tough, our family doesn't quit on God. Amen? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to be finished here. But think about a tree. You can see the branches. You can see the leaves. You can see the fruit. But you know what you cannot see from the tree? It's what? It's roots. You don't see the root system, do you? You don't see the root system. And can I tell you something that happens to Christian families? People will see the Sunday's clothes, the surface. They'll see the nice combed hair if you have any. The nice brushed tooth, if you have one. They'll see the surface. They'll see the smile. They'll see the personality. But they don't see beyond the surface. No. Pastor, why is that important? Well, because just attending church and just dressing up for church is not good enough for the kids. You know what they need to see? Is below the surface. When no one is watching, does dad and mom pray? Or do they respond in anger? Man, that's going to go so... That'll preach, right? That'll preach. Do mom and dad pray? Do they read their Bible? Do they forgive each other? Are they even willing to apologize when they're wrong? Man. Oh, I'm not going to apologize. I'm the parent. Okay. Run your kids off then. Amen? Because, I mean, the Bible is still be kind one to another. I mean, still there, right? Fathers, provoke not your children to what? Wrath or anger, whichever you want. I mean, it's still in the Bible. That's why the Bible needs to be in us, right? What does it say in Ezekiel 101? Husbands, don't get your wives mad. I mean, you know, things like that. Amen? No, I'm kidding. That's not in the Bible. I'm sorry. But here's the thing. The kids need to see, do they apologize when they're wrong? So many of our kids are going to be rebels, because here's the truth that I've learned in life. My mama and in our family, we grew up dysfunctional. You understand that. But can I tell you why most of our family has made it, in the sense of, you know, still married to their spouses, and of course some have passed away, but why church has been important? Not because we're perfect, man. I'm going to tell you, my family's not perfect, okay, at all. But I'm going to tell you why you could see a dysfunctional family that came as a bus family, then became drive-ins and became part of the church, why we've made it over what families that you would think in the surface, oh man, that family's gonna make it. Oh, you know what, that young man right there? He's the son of a deacon. Oh, he's gonna make it. Oh, he's the son of a pastor. His marriage is going to be great. But can I tell you why we have, by the grace of God, arrived where we are? Because my mama taught me this one thing, and I appreciate it, that rules without a relationship only creates rebellion. I felt loved by my mama. She didn't just put rules to push me away. She was patient with me. She loved me. She created that relationship. She nurtured me. Just like God does to you. And parents, sometimes we think, I can't apologize. You should apologize. Amen? Amen. I remember that lady. My mama, when she'd come, and sometimes, even now, I mean, I told my wife, I don't know why she does this, but she's like, I'm so sorry that I didn't give you the life that you deserved. And she's like, I'm so sorry that I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? I said, if it were not for the love that you gave me, I wouldn't be who I am. I said, no, if anything, Mama, thank you. Thank you, Mama, for not quitting. When my dad quit, you didn't. Mama, you shouldn't apologize for anything. If anything, I should kiss your feet. But I'm trying to tell you folks that rules without a relationship creates rebellion. And if you see why kids are not staying in the family or don't want anything to do with the family, it's because of that. We need to be more caring and loving, not condoning sin. Because my mama didn't let us get away with stuff. If she would have known half the stuff I was in, Brother Tyler, I'd be having waking up at 3 in the morning to a Switch, amen, in the morning. And I'm not talking about the game console, a Switch, amen. Amen. A chancla, amen. But here's the truth, parents. It needs to be in us so we can impact our families and we can impact the next generation, our church. We need to understand that we don't need to underestimate what we're building. We're building lives for the glory of God. That's what we're doing here at Victory Baptist Church. We don't expect perfect people. We understand we're not perfect, but we're chasing and pursuing after a perfect Savior. Bow your head, close your eyes. My question to you this Sunday is, are you putting down roots? Pastor, I really am. I'm putting down roots in prayer. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Continue doing that. Pastor, I am. I'm putting down prayer. I mean, roots in my Bible reading and meditating on the Word of God in my Bible study. Well, praise the Lord. Do that because your children are going to need that. But you know why really I want you to put down roots? Because one day that storm is coming. It's going to hit hard. And that will be the determining factor if you stand the storm or you don't. You're going to need to be rooted. As the piano plays, one day when that storm comes, those roots that you've grown and taken time to grow and nurture in your family, those roots are going to matter when the storm comes. One day your children will face temptation and they'll remember what dad and mom taught them. One day they'll face heartbreak and they'll remember how mom prayed. One day they'll face failure and they'll remember that dad stayed faithful to God. My friends, one day they'll have children of their own. And the seeds that you planted may produce fruit in another generation. So I'm just trying to challenge you, keep planting, keep praying, keep teaching. Keep serving, keep standing, because you don't know how many generations your faithfulness may impact. Every family in this church should ask, what kind of family do I want to build? But also, here's a more important question. What kind of family do I want to become? That's the question. Because your family, my friends, they're being shaped every day, with or without your permission. Every conversation is shaping their minds. Every decision is shaping. Every habit is shaping. Every influence is shaping. And guess what? Every Sunday is shaping. Every Bible scripture is shaping. Every prayer is shaping. So don't wait until you see the fruit. I suggest start planting now, right away. How about it?